Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today on the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about an extension of innovation. Many people talk about innovation. Many people have different terms, what they classify as innovation. But what I'd like to talk about today is what I call sustainable innovation. This moving beyond one-hit wonders that many companies struggle with. And there's a lot of brands who have been very successful with one product, have extended it for many years and sometimes generations. But there's very few brands that have been able to achieve that. So what I'd like to talk about today is a sustainable innovation and how to structure your brand to innovate. And the structure that we talk about is really critical to ensuring that you as a brand and as a company can continue to innovate. So that's why I call it this sustainable innovation. It's year after year having this pipeline of innovation that you control. And it isn't a case of trying to imitate. Imitation is not innovation. I talk about that. Want to make sure that you control your own destiny and having a plan in place that structurally allows you to innovate as a brand. So I'd like to give you an example. I'll give you a great example of a brand that continues to innovate to this day and is what I would classify as a generational brand, is Apple. And I go back to when Steve Jobs returned to Apple in 1997, and he talked about the structure of removing barriers to innovation was one big thing that Steve looked at. And there wasn't a lot of innovation going on with Apple when he came back in 1997. Just to give you the context of that, they had 8,000 employees and were doing about $7 billion in business. And to give you an idea where that's at today is 2019, 137,000 employees and $260 billion in business. Quite a contrast. And one thing that Steve did in the very beginning was he looked at the structure of the organization. He didn't, like a typical brand would normally look at, hey, let's look at the design process, our commercialization process, our product development process. And many times that is an issue when you look at things being put up on the board as concepts and them never being realized. I said that ideas are only as good as your ability to commercialize. And ideas that are on paper are only as good as the ink that is used to draw those. So many times when you look at companies on concepts, and I'll use another analogy, which is automobile companies. I think one of the most frustrating designers are concept car designers, because many times that never comes to life. It's only sitting up on the board and it never comes to be realized in the marketplace. So it can be very frustrating for designers if there's not a process to realize the vision of where either the product or the brand is going. So when Steve came back, he looked at structurally what's wrong with the company and why aren't we innovating anymore. So the first thing he put his finger on was that the company had been broken up into strategic business units. And those SBUs were run by GMs. And there was really no accountability to the top line. And I say top line because each had their own P&L. And as a result, there was a lot of infighting inside of the company as to wanting to save money here, save money on a component there. So many times the contribution of the SBU was to the detriment of Apple's ability to innovate. So the first thing Steve did actually on the first day was interesting. He fired all his GMs and completely changed the structure of the organization to give control back to those with the core expertise within each function. And each one of those functions rolled up to the CEO. And by doing that, they moved all of the, in this case, divisional P&Ls up to a singular P&L for the company. As big as Apple is, it continues to be under this structure today, believe it or not. So it goes to prove the fact that companies that have changed from the traditional functional organizations to this new SBU, small business units, the divisional control, whatever you want to call it. That all kind of transpired in the early 20th century with GM and DuPonts of the world, the big large cap companies felt it was just easier to effectively break apart the company inside the company and assign separate P&Ls. But Steve saw it differently. So what that looks like is when he broke the company, or didn't break the company up, he effectively fired all of his SBU managers and the GMs, and he rolled up the P&L to the CEO. And so what that allowed him to do is to have core sustainable expertise in each one of these areas. And each one of the areas that he defined, which can be applied to your company, big or small. Well, you don't have to be a billion-dollar company. I mentioned this example because it's a great application of a large company that you would traditionally think would be under the SBU structure was actually completely changed and runs this way today as the largest, most valuable company in the world still runs this way. So I thought it would be really interesting for us to take a look at this. So when you look at how Steve broke this up and how it's still run today at Apple, they've aligned core expertise where they can make decisions at their level relative to what they're in control of. And so when you look at the different areas of Apple, and I'll just use some examples here, and you can utilize this within your company based off of your product categories and functional areas that you have with your company. So it just so happens to be with Apple where they broke it apart in these areas. The first was hardware, and the second was software. Now, those would be product categories that Steve broke out relative to laptops or desktops, whatever it be, would be the hardware application side of the business. So what his intent was is to have a singular person in charge of the process. So whether they be microprocessors, whether they be the casing, whatever it may be, he wanted to have someone that had the core expertise relative to what they were producing. So in doing that, the decision was left to those that understood what they were actually making versus somebody that was a generalist that had to deal with not only producing the product, but then working with finance, working with marketing, working with the different functional groups on an independent level, and then eventually rolls up to the top line for the company. So to Steve, that didn't make sense. And so what he did is he broke it apart from hardware, software, and then what we mostly understand to be traditional functional groups, which are operations, services and support, marketing, sales, finance, and legal. And for the most part, that's how Apple is structured today. There's more functional areas because of the size of the company, but effectively it's still a functional structure. So what's interesting about this is applying it to your company or your brand is, first, I would say, as Apple broke apart hardware and software, try to simplify your product categories and have someone with a core expertise that has complete control over the process. Someone that can execute and them not being pressured by the P&L and understanding that they're effectively not setting the price. They just have to make the best product relative to where your brand is positioned. Now, that begs another question here to say, are you good, better, and best? Now, obviously, Apple is best in their category. So pricing constraints and concerns are much less of an issue for Apple. But if you're a good level, you're probably going to stick to the SBU or GM level, and then you're going to be an imitator. So it really doesn't necessarily always apply to the good brands because they're looking for the best brands to come up with products, and then they'll find a way to produce an alternate. And as a result, they don't need the core expertise like you see with Apple. Now, there's certainly some good or better brands that have this functional structure, but for the most part, they're probably built up off of an SBU, SBU P&L control that rolls up to the top line. So Apple had this broken down as big as they were at the time, hardware, and then the other being software. So that would be your product category. Now, if you're in the apparel industry or the footwear industry or any industry that you happen to be in on the consumer product side, you can use the same thing. Find somebody who's got clear apparel experience and that can produce the greatest products for your brand. and have somebody else handle the pricing, the P&L side of the business. And same thing with Apple on the software side. If you've got another product category where you need core expertise, make sure you get somebody that has core expertise in that category and give them functional control because of their expertise. Now, the other things that do apply are operations, services and support, marketing, sales, finance, and legal. Many of you have those as an independent functional area that rolls up to the top line P&L. But there are many on mid-size or larger companies that don't have that, and they're still running this old school, what I call general manager or SBU structure. So when you look at the control mechanisms, this is the first thing that Steve looked at, was how are we innovating and how can we build a sustainable innovation long-term where we currently don't have it. So the first thing is he fired all GMs. He moved the structure from SBU to having full core expertise in functional areas and also product category expertise, where decision makers didn't have to go through layers and barriers to get approvals on products with people that didn't understand what they were actually doing. So having the ability, based off of the functional control and expertise, you had the ability to unilaterally make decisions and move on to the next piece of innovation on your product. So this was really a control mechanism that Steve wanted to flip inside of Apple, and obviously it was very successful. So what you'll see is that most companies nowadays are built off of this SBU. I've had many brands that I've worked with and brands that I work for currently today with Liquid Mind, where the larger companies are still under this SBU structure and they have general managers with a generalist expertise and nothing specific around the functional areas. So finding the ability on the innovation side to get somebody with core experience relative to the category as well as functional areas, and having that roll up on a singular P&L where the incentive is get people that know how to price product, get people that know how to build product, and get people that know how to market and sell product, but keep them in that core expertise and have them roll up together as a brand and have a uniform P&L that everybody inside of the company is incentivized to ensure is executed properly on a season to seasonal basis. So what you'll see with this type of company is where it's in this SBU GM structure is the larger cap companies, ones that are slow moving, larger cap, non-innovative, a culture that breeds this constrictive environment around what you can and can't do. And so it's a very legacy built type of system that decisions are very hard to get through, and there's many barriers put in front of you. So what Apple wanted to do is take down those barriers, make decisions quicker so they could innovate faster. So Apple does prove that this functional structure does work. And when you look at the functional structure, what are some of the points that will allow you to be successful in deploying this inside of your company? And how does that apply from a company the size of Apple? Well, one thing that it proves is that you can actually go back to a functional organization and have it be successful. So you want to make sure that the environment and the technologies that you're utilizing move quickly through the organization. And many times that's the problem that you have with these SBUs and GMs, is being they don't have this core expertise. Many times you'll have independent islands of expertise that really don't flow together as a company and a brand, maximizing that knowledge base. And especially in the environment that we're in today, which is very fast moving, you need to have decisions made quickly with people that know what they're doing. Now, that sounds very simple in context, but very hard to achieve, and very few companies that have done it successfully. So I'll give you a couple points here of what this roll-up looks like and how it can be applied to your company. So the first thing we look at and what we can apply is functional expertise leads to quicker decisions. And when you start breaking the company apart into these islands of expertise or these islands where there's no collaboration, you can't make decisions quickly. So the key, whether you're a small company, big company, whatever it is, the key here is to have somebody that knows what they're doing with the core expertise on what they're actually doing and executing from a functional expertise and have the unilateral ability to make quick decisions. Now, not to say that there isn't somebody accountable to making those quick decisions, but you really need to ensure that this structure flows vertically inside of the company. So having functional expertise leads to quick decisions, and as a result, adoption of new technologies and environments that need to be adapted inside of your company happen quicker. The second thing is company-wide performance versus individual island performance. And everybody inside of Apple and everybody inside of your company, if you're under the functional or core expertise structure, everybody's incentivized to execute to ensure that whatever they come from a product perspective, from a pricing standpoint, from a sales perspective, from a channel distribution standpoint, that all of that matches the company and brand's vision. So everybody's collectively working together without any, each person having an independent motivation for the success of their SBU. So having this functional structure with core expertise allows you to build a company off a foundation of everybody collectively working together for the success of the brand moving forward. And number three is decisions are made at the functional level. So when you have a company and you go back to the departments where everybody or the functional structure of what Apple had put together, and I don't care if it's apparel or hardware, if it's footwear or software, and then you get into operations, services, support, marketing, sales, finance, and legal, everybody has a decision relative to their core expertise. And they have the ability at that level to make a decision that affects the company as a whole. So there isn't these independent islands of decision makers that flow up to then the top level through five different or six different layers prior to getting an approval. Find a way where you have a singular layer and one with someone who's made a decision, you know that they have the core expertise to be making those decisions. Number four is deep knowledge. And I say deep knowledge because what you look at is you want somebody that on a corporate level has deep financial knowledge, has deep marketing knowledge, has deep product category knowledge. And when I say that is when you look at the SBUs and the GM side of the business and why the structure was broken up at Apple was you didn't really get that deep. You had a lot of generalist relative to a specific product line or product category. So what you want to make sure of is that you have somebody with deep knowledge so they don't have roadblocks thrown in front of them by somebody that doesn't know anything about what they're trying to create, what they're trying to produce, or a decision that they're trying to make. So again, it leads to this streamlined process of getting products commercialized, having enhanced innovation relative to those that know what's going to be a point of difference on a product when it finally hits the shelf. And finally, that fifth one is leadership through functional expertise. And I call this kind of falls in line again with this deep knowledge, but leadership is different. Those inside of the company or the brand are looking to point the finger at somebody that has the ultimate decision-making authority to get this product to the next level. And individuals or employees inside SBU companies, especially on the creation side, get frustrated by the structure that inherently put barriers in front of them on a day-to-day basis. So this functional structure really is something that frees up people to do their jobs, interestingly enough. And when you look at the new structure of how Apple or any company that goes along with the functional structure and expertise versus GMSBU, they kind of have this building block. What's interesting, there was a study done on functional organizations versus ones that go with the SBU structure and leaders within those organizations as to where they spend most of their time. And there's a four block, there's this four blocks that they had put together, and on the upper left is what they call owning, meaning owning the process or owning the product. And then the top right is learning. The bottom left is teaching. And the bottom right is delegating. Now, these are four blocks that are inherently common to all companies, whether big or small. But what's interesting is where the time allocation actually happens. On the ongoing or owning side, let's say, where it's really about leadership principles of owning the product, owning your functional area, and ensuring that you're there to move this process to the next level. 40% of their time on functional organizations is in that box. On the learning side, which is the upper right, is you continually want to build your knowledge base. With where we're moving with technology and expertise in the industry, you continually want to be learning. So 30% of their time, leaders' time within functional organizations, is relative to learning, which I found very interesting. Because inside of SBUs and GMs, you hear a lot of people, brands that I've worked with and brands that I work for, have all said they don't have time for learning. Well, learning is what allows you as a leader to build a knowledge base that others can come to you with to ask questions. It's very logical, but many companies lose sight of the fact that learning is a critical component. And most companies on the SBU GM side are about 5% versus on the functional side. And I'm saying organizations, even on the functional side, it may be less than 30. But the fact that the learning process is very valuable to a functional organization because of the fact they've told them you're a leader in the organization, you need to understand the core expertise and have deep knowledge around what you're actually producing, making, or your functional area. So learning is 30%. Teaching goes down to 15%. And delegating goes to 15%. And many times on the teaching side is if you don't have a process and you need to continually be teaching people and you don't have organization or structure around how you commercialize product or the operations logistics side of your business, you're going to spend more time in teaching. But in the functional expertise side, the two largest components of a leader's job is owning the process and learning. Which I thought's very interesting because while they're owning the process on a day-to-day basis, they're also building the knowledge base on the back end through learning. So delegating and teaching become less important, not because they don't want to do it. It's because they have a process to teach and to delegate, and people are proactive. So this is a very interesting structure, and I found it very interesting in looking at this functional versus SBU business and how Apple had applied it. But it doesn't have to be Apple. It can be small business, large business, whatever it is. The intent here is that if you're a product company or a brand, you need to cut the barriers to innovation. So if you want to be an innovative brand, make sure that you take down those barriers to those working inside of those functional areas to ensure that their decisions, their ideas are passed along in a timely manner with a process that's inherently adopted from the top down. So this is something that all brands can implement, but very few do effectively. So take the time to look at your organization. Make sure that you have a process in place for sustained innovation. Broken down very simply, what Apple did is they just took down barriers. And they put people who understood a specific either functional area, product category expertise, and allowed them to do their job for the betterment of the brand. So when you're moving forward in your company or your brand, just make sure, watch out for those barriers. Don't build the barriers to success. Ensure that you got functional expertise and give decision-making control to those that have that deep knowledge. Would like to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully you've enjoyed the subjects that we talk about each week here on the Visionary Chronicles. And we feel it's very important. We understand that there's professional needs and support you need with your companies and with your brands, but we also appreciate the fact that you've got some personal needs. As leaders of companies and brands, there are many things that you have to deal with, and we want to make sure that we're addressing those as well. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate subscribing to The Visionary Chronicles are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Podbean. So we would really appreciate if you'd subscribe and look forward to bringing additional episodes to you each week. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next podcast.